Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. This football season has been different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into episode 5 this week of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Saturday edition of the show, alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. We're getting you ready for tomorrow's matchup between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants. The Eagles at 3-4-1, trying to continue to build their cushion in first place in the NFC East, while the Giants are trying to tie up the Eagles, at least in the win column, with 3 wins apiece. So it's a very important game for both teams. And Gino sat down with Locked On Giants host Patricia Traina yesterday, or I should say Thursday, on Crossover Thursday. We did Wednesday on Wednesday. Tuesday we did an episode, as well as Monday. So we've had 4 other episodes this week that you can get into your phone when you subscribe to the Locked On Eagles podcast on any platform, or you can check them out as well on LockedOnEagles.com. Gino, how are you, sir? A great weekend. We're watching some golf. We got the Masters. We got college football, and the birds are getting healthy. It's been a positive week, at least before game day. Hopefully they can get a win and continue the good vibes tomorrow. But so far, it's been a good week.
Absolutely. I mean, Philadelphia basically settled the election.
Yeah, that too.
It wasn't quiet in the bye week, regardless of what your political views are. I mean, they were a huge factor in Joe Biden claiming Pennsylvania. But this isn't a political talk show. We're talking football, and man, oh man, what a weekend. We got college football coming on in a couple minutes here. I got my Oregon Ducks later playing Wazoo. Always going to be a good game between those two teams. So I got to sweat through that before we even can get to 1 p.m. tomorrow, where we have to sweat through another Eagles-Giants game at Meadowlands Stadium, which also always turns into a dumpster fire one way or another.
Let's hope it doesn't turn into one of those games where we have to come back down like 18 points. I feel like that happens every year now.
I genuinely say to Patricia every time I talk to her and we go off the air, I'm like, I can never give you a fair prediction of these games, because I genuinely don't know how they're going to go, because especially now with Joe Judge, I think they've gotten that team on track even a little bit. And hey, man, they were only an Evan Ingram catch away from that game being over. Daniel Jones
beat us,
stumbling into the end zone. So it could be a little tougher of a game than many people think, but there's one thing looking in our favor, and that's the injury report for once.
I almost shed a tear, Gino. It's incredible.
It's beautiful. It's
look at all the FPs, the full participants. I mean, everybody's ready to go, it seems like.
Can we comment on, like, year to year, like, rank their injury report graphic? Because I got to say, this year might arguably be the worst that I've seen out of Philadelphia.
It's pretty brutal. But, I mean, at least the graphic itself is bad, but I'm glad they're kind of they can slack right now, considering there's not going to be as many players. But, yeah, man, I mean, I'm so tired of seeing these injury reports and just seeing the graphic completely full. And, you know, this week it's been all positive. Alshon Jeffrey returned fully from that calf injury. Looks like Kevin Durant out there with those crazy skinny arms. So Alshon is ready to go, Gino. He's going to play on Sunday. We'll talk in segment two about how often he's going to play, where he's going to play, lined up with Travis Fulgham and Jalen Reagor. It'll be really interesting to get into that discussion. So Alshon, though, is going to return for the first time since last year's Monday night battle against the New York Giants, another game where the Eagles had to come back down, you know, multiple scores in the second half, down 17-0 at halftime. Lane Johnson is a full participant in practice. On Friday he was, so Doug Peterson told the media that Lane Johnson looks good and he should be ready to go. Miles Sanders does not have an injury designation, according to Adam Schefter this morning. So you get back your star running back, your star right tackle, a wide receiver that's a veteran that I'll take on the lineup right now as an option. Defensive tackle Malik Jackson, full participant from that quadricep injury. So you add him back to the rotation on already an elite defensive line. So, I mean, Gino, everything's looking up, and you're going to get Jack Driscoll back too, his offensive line depth. It's a good feeling. I mean, hopefully this is sustainable. hopefully now you don't have like seven other different key players go down with injury. But right now it looks like the Eagles, for the second half run in first place, even at 3-4-1, they're getting their core back when it matters the most, because there are some brutal games left on the schedule, my friend. I mean, you got to play a lot of pretty much all the top NFC teams you still have on your regular season schedule.
Yeah, I mean, just saying that out loud, right? It's just frightening to think about. I know. We see Seattle and how they played against the Bills last week, and you see Green Bay continuing to win and the Saints continue to win. But Lou, ultimately, I go back to last year, and it kind of reminds me of that stretch when you were getting ready to play New England and Seattle, and it was, can we play with the big boys?
Sure.
Is it time to play with the big boys? And we're going to see that the next few weeks.
Yeah, we're going to see who this team is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, going into this game, this has to be, we said it about the last Giants game a couple weeks ago, the get-right game, the game where you go out there and dominate an NFC East opponent. If they can't do that with this full team, Lou, I'm going to be a little bit worried. And then yeah, especially going into this stretch where you're going to play even a good Cleveland Browns team and a good Cardinals team in that run, it's going to be frightening if you can't get things going quick after the bye. But the good thing is Doug Peterson, his teams after the bye week, if you take out Andy Reid's 2012 season, he has had a lot of success post-bye. I got a quick statistic on it. Doug Peterson, after the bye week with that 2012 Reid year, was 57-46. Without that Reid year in 2012, is 56-37. So Doug Peterson knows how to get his team ready to play after the bye week, especially in November and December, which we've seen the last few years. And this is where they've gotten hot, Lou, if you can say anything to Doug Peterson's team. I mean, even 2016 down the stretch, they started to get right when things were looking awry in the middle of the year. 2017, they wobbled off a little bit in December, but then they got right for that playoff run and got to the Super Bowl. The next year, they went on that little run with Nick Foles again. Then they go 4-0 last year in that stretch where they needed to. So if it's anything for Doug, this is the time where you want him to be your coach, because frankly, he's been in these moments more than any other coach in the NFC East. And when you're playing Green Bay and Matt LaFleur and you're playing Sean Payton and you're going against Pete Carroll, those games, if ideally if you're going to win them, are probably going to be one score games. I don't see you blowing out those teams in any matter. This is where your coach has to really bunker down and get his team right, because a lot of these self-inflicted wounds, when you're playing great teams, man, that scoreboard is going to look a lot uglier than it did the last few weeks.
Yeah, Gino, look, this team's ready to go now from a health standpoint. And like we said, you got tough tests coming. You got to play Seattle still, New Orleans, Green Bay, Arizona. You've got these NFC East opponents still. And, you know, the NFC East, all as terrible as it is, they always play each other close. So now it's time to get rid of this inconsistent play. It's on the quarterback now, Carson Wentz. It's on your head coach, Doug Peterson. I want to see this team, like you're saying, because in the second half of the season, the Eagles have played really well. When they're backed into a corner, that's when this team plays better. But I want to see them play with that mindset, Gino, now earlier. Like, do it now at 3-4-1. Take advantage of your first place situation and start it earlier while you actually have starters. I want to see this team put together complete games. I want to see them win comfortably against an inferior opponent tomorrow with your starters, because I feel like over the past couple of years, yes, they've gotten up in the second half of the year and they've really made a run at the postseason when it matters down the stretch. But they've done it again. It took the last four games. It took a four-game win streak last year. It took them being 5-1 down the stretch in 2018. And it took backups that were trying to prove their worth in the NFL to help inspire this team. I want to see these starters, the team that can actually get you to a Super Bowl, I want to see them play that inspired, backed into a corner football, and do it starting tomorrow against the Giants. Win this game and do it without having to come back by two, three touchdowns. Because to me, again, Gino, you look at the roster, and there's talent on both sides of the ball that made me think this was a top three team in the NFC. So if you can sustain this health and stop playing so inconsistent, and you can get Carson Wentz back on track, and you're supposedly, was supposed to be an elite play caller in Doug Peterson, I mean, there really isn't an NFC team that terrifies me. I mean, honestly, I think the Eagles could beat any team if they don't beat themselves. And so I'm excited that we get to see where the Eagles are at in the regular season against those teams, because they play all of them before they inevitably probably get to the playoffs. So it's a big opportunity coming off this bye to really show who the real Eagles are, because we saw kind of the tale of two different teams through the first eight games of the season.
No, I fully agree, Lou, and you're right. And one thing that I've kind of been hindering at, and I mean that has been hindering this team, is that they mm-hmm. can't get all three units to play together. And you're yeah. right, there isn't an NFC opponent that I think is unbeatable right now.
I mean, even Seattle, you know, they're dead last against the pass on defense. I mean, I'm terrified of them definitely. Because the Eagles can never beat Seattle. But like every NFC team right now is beatable. There mm-hmm. is no Kansas City Chiefs to me in this conference.
That's the thing. I mean, down the stretch, if you're going to go up against Drew Brees, who isn't the most mobile guy, and your front yeah. four can get after it, and Darius Slay, he continues to dominate some of these opponents. Like, it'll be much nicer when you have him covering DK Metcalf and Michael Thomas mm-hmm. rather than a guy like Marcus Epps
out there in
zero coverage.
for the playoffs.
The playoffs, yeah. That's what a world. And Good you're Lord. Right, Lou. They do have elite talent on both sides of the ball. But not just, oh, we needed these guys to come back, like 18 and 19, you know, like we were just waiting for Alshon to get back. Right now we're like, okay, these guys coming back is a little bit of a luxury, because even at the offensive line where you were so just bruised and battered, they held their own. At the wide receiver unit, you have now seen the rise of Travis Fulham and seen what a player like John Hightower can do, coupled with a healthy Jalen Reagor. Now you're going to get Alshon as possibly your fourth or fifth option at the wide receiver position alone, with a healthy Dallas Goedert, with a healthy Miles Sanders, and a rejuvenated Boston Scott and Corey Clement the last few weeks, who have shown off what they can do.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, on the offensive side of the ball, things are looking up. Hey, even Richard Rodgers, who has 15 receptions on the year, is averaging 12.3 yards a reception. So yeah. you're seeing these elements that you're right, you didn't see until down the stretch last year when you got these guys like Josh Perkins coming out and Greg Ward playing good mm-hmm. ball. Now you're seeing it early in the season, and that's something you can build off of. Like when you're team building, Lou, that's what you look at when you evaluate. Where are the young guys, and then where are the free agents, the veteran guys that we could come in, bring them in and fill in some of the holes? Much like 17, you remember that offseason.
Yep.
They had their young guys, and they brought in a few free agents that they needed. You're kind of in a free agency 2.0 period here right now, getting all these players healthy. If you think about it, when you're getting five players, both starters and depth-wise, back in a single week, man, that's huge. I mean, just talk about the continuity moving forward. It's going to do wonders for this team.
Yeah, you're getting them earlier. You're getting these injuries going away earlier. So now I want to see that consistency that you saw down the stretch in 2018 and 2019. I want to see that come back earlier too. Gino, it kind of feels like last year we didn't get to see, you know, because it took the last four games to get into the postseason and everybody was still getting healthy, right? DeSean Jackson needed to get one more week under his belt. He could have returned against Green Bay in the second round if they beat Seattle, right? Lane Johnson, too. Mm-hmm. And you just couldn't get that one last win to see all those starters return and maybe then get on a run. Like, you weathered the storm. You saw all the things you're talking about, like the offensive line holding their own with all these young pieces, the receiving core, the defense. But you just couldn't get that one win to see then if you could add your core back and see if you can sustain that and stay hot and stay consistent. And that's why I'm so excited for the second half of the season, because you kind of get that now, where you saw them weather the storm with all these role players, and now you get all these core pieces back. Let's see if they can put together a run and be a team that's not laughed at, even making the postseason. Because right now, I know why this team is in contention at all right now. It's because they're in the NFC East, but I think they're going to take it. Hopefully they're going to take advantage of that gift now and become a team that can actually do damage.
If you get your offense to play a game like they did against Baltimore or Pittsburgh,
right,
against two of the better defenses or better offense. Yeah, no, better defenses mm-hmm. in football, rather. And then your defense, who has all these studs, they're finally going to be continually together. You're going to have your boy Malik Jackson back there, somebody who you've been missing. And hopefully these young guys at the linebacker position can continue to play good football. Will Parks is back healthy. That was a big player that they didn't have for quite some time, who is going to be another chess piece option. You can't be anything but inspired in terms of personnel moving forward. And hopefully Doug and co, they learn from these first 8 weeks, and hopefully this bye week kind of set them straight a little bit. And same with Carson, man. And you're right, Lou. I look at all of these teams, and throughout Carson's tenure, he's been in games against all of these quarterbacks.
That's why I feel
multiple
good.
Times.
Yeah.
So you, I mean, as much as his play has been down this year, you still look at contextually what's going on. He hadn't had the same offensive line in nearly 6 weeks. His running backs were all over the place week in and week out. He's still continually shuffling wide receivers. He only had two starters healthy, only one outside of himself at one point. So you can't not look at what is going on in terms of just the guys getting back that are going to make Carson, who when he was taking first team reps before the season started, those were the guys that he was playing with, and finally he will get to play with them again. So, I mean, even just walking into the building, Carson has to light up seeing Lane Johnson healthy, seeing Miles Sanders healthy. He's going to feel a lot better seeing those guys in the huddle and knowing that Lane is back, because we say it all the time. Lane is the key to this entire offense. They play so much better when he's back. They play so much better when Miles is back. It just brings a completely different element. And we haven't even seen a smidgen of what the tandem, or the trio rather, of Jalen Reagor and Travis Fulham and even Greg Ward and Hightower can do together. So I'm really excited, Lou. I think the second half, regardless of how it turns out record-wise, just evaluating a lot of this young talent is going to be so fun moving forward.
Yeah, it's a big opportunity for Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson specifically to turn it around now. There's really no excuses here. In the second half of the season, I want to get into the offense, Gino, coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. How will this offense look tomorrow against the New York Giants from a personnel side of things? You know, it's an interesting question to ask with Travis Fulgham, Jalen Reagor, and Alshon Jeffrey out there. How will the wide receiver core look? And, you know, we'll get into the offense coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. And guys, today's episode, again, is sponsored by Pepsi. This football season, with COVID-19 going on, it's been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you have to watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's not made for Carson Wentz. It's made for you. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into the Saturday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri joining you as always. Gino, you hinted at it at the end of segment one. Obviously, we talked about health and this team getting back on track in the second half of the season. You know, you get that health back, you get hopefully consistency with it, and you get a rebound from Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson. And so you get Miles Sanders back on Sunday against the New York Giants. You get Lane Johnson back. You get Alshon Jeffrey. It's ready. Like, they're ready to go now. And I'm really excited to see what Doug Peterson can do, man, like with personnel groupings. And it's time for Doug to get creative again. I want to see the Doug Peterson from 2017. I was watching on Sunday with the bye week, dude. I couldn't help but be jealous watching Chiefs Panthers and seeing all the different things that Andy Reid
and Ferrari right, baby. That was maybe the greatest play call I've ever seen.
I mean, Mahomes and seeing what Reed is doing pre-snap, and Joe Brady for the Carolina Panthers, and seeing how they're utilizing guys like Mecole Hardman, you know, and Curtis Samuel behind the line of scrimmage. And then I see what the Eagles have in Jalen Reagor and Miles Sanders. And again, just seeing what it's doing for Teddy Bridgewater and Patrick Mahomes. And I want that for Carson Wentz. And I think with Doug Peterson, you just haven't seen as much creativity pre-snap, post-snap. And I think Jalen Hurts kind of represents that, right? Like, Jalen Hurts has been using all these different packages this year, and just none of them have been creative at all. He kind of represents what Doug Peterson's been lacking this year, and it's creativity. And, you know, I kind of defended him earlier in the year saying it's hard to be creative when you lack really good personnel. But now you've got all those guys back. So give me what I saw against the when I was watching Panthers Chiefs. I want that tomorrow against New York. I want the 2017 Doug Peterson back. And now there's no excuses. You've got the personnel to be creative.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to bring that conversation up that I remember you and I had via text message, and I was telling you, I'm like, even though we don't have the skill set, we have to get guys moving, and you see it. I mean, even players that aren't the best, look at Buffalo, what they're doing with a guy like Isaiah McKenzie, for example.
Yeah, good point, actually.
They're utilizing his skill set and scheming him open. How many times have we seen a guy just wide open in the middle of the field, getting him in space? You see that all the time in Kansas City. You see that all the time with a guy like Joe Brady, especially when you look back to LSU. Like, look at Justin Jefferson's tape at LSU. That was his whole career. I mean, we need Doug Peterson and Marty Morningwig and Rich Scangarello and the entire company to create these plays. Press Taylor, what's going on, man? Like, you were the Philly special guy. Like, right. You got to be able to do this. Like, you have Jalen Hurts, who you can utilize. You have Jalen Reagor. You have John Hightower. You have Fulham. You have Greg Ward. Why haven't we seen Greg Ward throw a pass in, what, 2 years? I don't think we've seen him throw one.
Like, and you the one time they tried things with Ward, Gino, was on like a third and long when they were in field goal range, and it put him out of field goal range. So,
absolutely, and that's the type of stuff. Like, I would love to see like a triple reverse, like Jalen Reagor to Travis Fulham to Jalen Hurts, and then you have like Miles Sanders running a wheel route up the seam, and you just toss it to Miles, or scheme up something crazy like that we've seen them do before. Because now is the time you take advantage of these guys that are running 4.3 40s. Use Jalen Rager's play speed to his advantage when he's going against these corners. Like James Bradbury, good corner, but man, you should eat him alive with the athleticism of Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
Like, you should absolutely destroy teams with that type of player. And coming from the Andy Reid tree, which Doug Peterson had seen for so long, even before they had the Tyreek Hills of the world, that's what Andy always had done. And now is the time to dip back in to that Andy Reid tree and seriously use some of those play calls. Get Carson Wentz in those triple option types scenario. Imagine running a speed option with Miles Sanders and Jalen Reagor as your third option. Mm-hmm. Like, teams should be terrified of the idea of that. Or even Jalen Hurts. I mean, just make teams scared of the idea of your personnel. I mean, Sun Tzu, just strike fear into your enemy and you will succeed. Like, that's all it comes down to. Deception is huge in the NFL, and especially when you have the players that can execute post deception,
and they have them now, Gino. They got Reagor, exactly. They've got Sanders, they've got Fulgham, and you know they've got a quarterback that can move and get Carson Wentz moving. And I'm not asking them to reinvent the wheel here. I'm just asking. I mean, look, even the Philly special was something they saw from the Chicago Bears and from college teams. Just watch your old coach, watch Andy Reid, just watch the tape from Panthers Chiefs and just give me some of that kind of stuff. Again, I'm not asking you to reinvent the wheel and just come up with all this new stuff, but do stuff that you used to do and be creative in a way. Take things from other teams. You know, it's okay to be a copycat. It's a copycat league. Okay. And I think it would benefit so much from the kind of plays Joe Brady and Andy Reid were running. I just envisioned Philadelphia's offensive bounce back in the second half of the year coming through those kinds of things. And again, like you said, man, they've got the personnel now. And I'm excited tomorrow to see, especially in 11 personnel, like Travis Fulgham out there, Jalen Reagor, Alshon Jeffrey, Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders. They've got weapons. And I think I want to see them tomorrow put up points. I don't want to see no 20-17 win. I mean, give me 30 plus and win comfortably now. Like, let's see this team get on a run.
Yeah, I mean, look right here in Buffalo. Look at a guy like Brian Daboll. He's been using the most 4 wide receiver sets, and he's making Josh Allen look like one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
And go empty set, you know, like there's not enough empty set. You don't have to have 4 or 5 receivers out there, but split Miles Sanders out wide. Mm-hmm. Keep Dallas Goedert out there outside. Do stuff like that, too, and create space for Carson.
For sure, man. Any way that you can play to Carson's strength, I think getting him into a rhythm early on would be huge. Just get Jalen Reagor on a little a mesh crosser where there's a little pick for him. Get him the ball in space. Let him go.
Even Nelson Agholor used to eat with those routes, man. I mean,
I've been dying for a mesh sit wheel. I've been dying since the Super Bowl for a mesh sit wheel. Like, give it to me one time. I'm here playing my buddies in Madden. It's the only play I'm running because I want the nostalgia factor.
You're just crying while you're playing, one tear going down Gino's eye when he's calling up the mesh sit wheel.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and I was looking at it, and I typed up all the next-gen stat numbers and his DVOA from his entire career, and his most efficient year in 2017 and his most accurate year in 2018, he was getting the ball out in under 2.72 seconds. Mm-hmm. I think that is key for Carson, because this year when he's holding on to it for 2.92, you're getting him into the hero ball situations. Yeah. Let's utilize his arm. Get him in those quick strike seam routes to Dallas Goedert. Let him go get some yards after the catch. He's at the bottom of the league right now for quarterbacks, wide receivers, yards after the catch. They need to get guys in space. They have to get Carson into a rhythm early. Take advantage of the athleticism of Miles Sanders and Jalen Reagor. Even Greg Ward is a solid athlete. Dallas Goedert is a mismatch nightmare. Same with Travis Fulham. Like, now is the time, Lou. You don't have a big plodding Alshon Jeffrey, who was on one calf, and Jordan Matthews, who was signed off the street for the fifth time. You have ballers now. Like, for the first time in a long time, I think we could say Carson Wentz has weapons to succeed. And we were talking this tandem up of Fulham and Rager as the next Macklin and Deshaun. And this is what we want to see out of Carson. Is
and they looked apart against Dallas, by the way, dude. Like, they looked like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think they can. And we're not even seeing the threshold of how we can use these guys' skill sets. Because, yes, Carson has a great arm, and he could fit into those pinpoint areas where Rager and Fulham are very good at contested catch situations. So is Greg Ward, and so is Dallas Goedert. But these guys all can utilize their athleticism, and it's a speed league. Look who's boat racing teams out of the NFL right now. It's the Buffalo Bills. It's the Kansas City Chiefs, two offenses that utilize speed, utilize athleticism. It's a speed game, and defenses haven't caught up yet. So especially now, when you have to get into this run, you're going to go play a Seattle team which stinks against the pass. You have to utilize these guys, man. Like, it should be the Wentz, Rager, Fulham, Goddard show with Miles Sanders as your second act up and a spattering of Boston Scott and company in out of the backfield and just utilizing these guys in every fashion possible, because the 53 is the 53, and finally your 53 is what you thought it was going to be when the year started.
Gino, let's talk about Alshon Jeffrey real quick. He returns for the first time in 2020, and look, he better not steal reps from Rager or Fulgham. It didn't sound like Doug Peterson planned on that in his press conference. But what I will say is, as much as I've had issues with Alshon over the past couple of years with his anonymous quotes about Carson Wentz and about his regression and play in 2019 and his injuries, at the same time, I am kind of excited to see him in there over a Greg Ward. And look, I don't think he's going to be a full-time starter, and I don't even think he's going to be your full-time wide receiver three. I think he'll rotate in there with Greg Ward. There's going to be times you want John Hightower still to help you spread a defense out down the field. But I'm excited to see skinny Alshon, you know, Alshon Durant, I should call him, throughout the rest of the season, because I do think he can add an element to this offense that, I don't know, Greg Ward, again, he's super reliable. He's got great chemistry with Carson Wentz, and he's great on third down. But there's another gear there that Ward doesn't have, and with Hightower still being inconsistent, it is comforting to know you're going to get back a guy in Alshon Jeffrey that actually plays his best football when it matters most down the stretch, 2017, 2018. When he got hot, it's when it mattered most. So I'm excited about Alshon coming back, actually, against the Giants. We'll see where he's at off these multiple injuries and after not playing for an entire year. I'm curious to ask you, where do you see him lining up? Like, how do you think the Eagles use Alshon tomorrow?
Well, first off, maybe, just maybe, Lou, as much as you think that Alshon was the guy talking to Jacina, it seems like there's a player that happens to not be on the roster anymore that all of a sudden there's no rumors that come up, and he happens to be playing in Las Vegas.
No, don't Nelson you dare put Aguilar. That on Nelly. How dare you, sir?
We can have that discussion.
I will not stand for that.
We're going to get back to Alshon Jeffrey. We're going to get back to a slim down Alshon Jeffrey.
Super slim, man. He is super so skinny. Slim. Like, what the hell?
I like it. I think this is what Alshon kind of needed to do, because I think playing at that weight, Lou, I don't think it did him well. You saw how he slowed down in his 18 and 19, as much as he had injuries.
Remember those Alshon screen passes last year? Oh, my
right.
God.
But you talk about his 17-year, Lou. He played through a torn collarbone, but that was arguably the most fit we had seen him.
Sure, yeah.
To this day. And then now he's a rejuvenated player. And, yeah, you talked about getting him out there when it matters, and I totally agree. Now you have the optionality to not just plug Greg Ward out there as your slot receiver. You can move Jalen Rager from the Zier X to the slot position, toss Alshon at your X. Mm-hmm. Now you have a very good man-beating wide receiver still. You can utilize Jalen and Travis in those zone areas where they both excel. And I think you can fit Alshon in a matter of ways that would benefit this team, because now I think it brings more optionality to it. Hey, even you could toss Alshon in the slot, let him get matched up against a smaller cornerback. I think that brings in a whole totally different element. And if the guy wants to get a contract elsewhere, he should want to play these last 8 weeks and actually show out. And I mean,
he's super motivated, I'm sure, man. He's got to change his whole, he wants to fix his whole reputation on and off the field.
Right. And it's reassuring from what we've heard, and I can't wait to see him on the field, because he looks slimmed down. It looks like he's ready for business. You hear what Jalen Rager was saying about
Uncle Alshon.
How he was, Yeah, he was coaching him up, and I think that's big too, because Lou, who was the one wide receiver that you could rely on to play through injury week in and week out when there was nobody else there? Mm-hmm. It was Alshon. I mean,
yeah, it was.
Played in the Super Bowl, torn rotator cuff. How many times did he have rib injuries, get leg injuries? But he was still going out there playing. I mean, he was rushed back for a few games, I'm sure. But now he's fully healthy, had the full time to heal. He slimmed down. I've always been a big Alshon fan, man. I don't know about anybody
else. See, I
want
to like him, man. Like, I trust me.
He's
a Super Bowl legend.
South Carolina, his days in Chicago. I wanted him to be traded here. I think this is kind of the redemption tour for him, man.
I hope so. Yeah.
And I hope Wentz trusts him in those one-on-one situations. And now you have a couple guys that can win one-on-one. When is the last time we've had multiple guys that you could throw the ball up and say, yeah, they'll probably win a 50-50 matchup? Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time.
And Jalen Rager. Too many Jalens on this team. And Rager and Fulham even. And now Alshon's back. And, hey, even JJ to some extent has looked decent in a couple 50-50 balls that he's seen. So you have, man, this is the chess match offense that we have been talking about. And it's going to be a nightmare. What are you going to do when you go five wide with Miles Sanders in the slot, Dallas Goedert, Jalen Rager, Travis Fulham, and Alshon Jeffrey out at the numbers? I don't know many teams that can match up against that. I just strictly from an X's and O's standpoint, I don't know many teams that are going to be able to deploy weapons to defend that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do with, you know, specifically these three receivers. I think they're going to run a lot.
This is best case scenario. We are talking best case scenario right now. But we have seen Doug and Co. go worst case scenario several times.
I think with 11 personnel, again, people are kind of freaking out too much about X, Y, and Z. And I don't know. Like, again, I know they're different positions kind of, but for me, you've seen Travis Fulgham actually play a lot inside this year as that big slot, kind of like Jordan Matthews. And I think you can use Alshon Jeffrey in that way at times. And Jalen Rager, I think you can actually utilize his skill set a lot of, if you want to get him underneath and use him kind of like they use Nelson Aguilar in 2017 and 2018, I think you can use him inside as well a whole lot. So I'm not really concerned about who plays where. I'm excited about the idea of Rager, Fulgham, and a healthy Alshon Jeffrey all being out there, Geno, at the same time, because, you know, this team has been 12 personnel centric for the last couple of years. And while, it's because you have Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, it's also because you haven't really had three go-to wide receivers. And if Alshon is the Alshon we saw at least like last year against Miami, then you do have at least three go-tos and guys rotating in that can contribute in key areas. Greg Ward on third downs and in the red zone, John Hightower down the field. I mean, I can't remember the last time they've had five receivers that I'm confident in. I mean, it's been a long time and they could have that. Again, hopefully best case scenario pans out tomorrow starting against the New York Giants.
You're 100% correct. It's kind of unbelievable when you think about it. Like, we've been waiting all year for this and we finally get it, and it's going to be nice when you can rely on your running back and your newly healthy offensive line and rejuvenated Alshon, somebody who's been here for most of Carson's career. If you're Wentz and you're Doug, the stress has to come off a little bit, you would think, right? I mean, now you have guys that it doesn't just have to be the Carson Wentz and Jason Kelce show. Like, we have 9 out of 11 pieces of the offensive line.
Right, there's no excuse to not be creative for Doug Peterson, and there's no excuse for Wentz to have to play hero ball every play like he's Jameis Winston. I mean, there's no excuse now for Carson and Doug in the second half of the year. They're healthy, and it's time for those two to put it together.
Definitely. I think this ultimately helps out the two pieces which we question the most, and that was Doug and Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. And still, we don't know what Jim Schwartz is going to do. We don't know how that special team unit is going to look. But I believe this offense could take this team a lot of places. It's an offensive-minded league. You see who keeps winning the Super Bowl year after year. Outside of the Rams one, the Eagles was a bloodbath. I mean, that was just 70-some-odd points. I mean, you look at the Chiefs and Niners, they're scoring almost 50 points. Like, you have to score in the NFL. You're going to have to score to beat Seattle. You're going to have to score to beat New Orleans. You're going to have to score to even beat Cleveland and even beat Arizona. All these teams which have 4, 5, 6, 7 receiving weapons and guys that they're utilizing in a bunch of different manners, like a Tyreek Hill, like a Mecole Hardman. You're right, Lou. It's okay to copy teams in the NFL. There's no rule that says you can't.
Yeah.
So You should go out there and use the stuff that works. And Chip Kelly was always, his system always beat out the personnel. I believe now we are seeing what Chip Kelly meant by that statement. Like, if you have your system that works and you have your personnel, much like Kansas City does, much like Pittsburgh does, much like Buffalo does, you can be successful and win a bunch of football games. And I think the Eagles are right there, Lou. I mean, how many times does Doug Peterson say it? How many times does Carson Wentz say it? If Wentz doesn't throw 12 interceptions in the back half of the season, mm-hmm. and he throws, let's say, throws 15 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, that's a good back half for Carson Wentz. And Miles Sanders rushes for 500 more yards and catches.
And it's time for Doug to give him the ball more too, man. Like, Gino, it's time for Miles Sanders to get more touches. I mean, he was so damn efficient in the first 5 games that he played this year.
That's the thing, man. There's no excuses anymore. And
no, there isn't.
Ultimately, we're going to see if this team learned, and you're going to learn a ton in the next 8 weeks or so. And frankly, you're at a fork in the road, which is going to be, either way, I think it's going to be a good outcome because, one, you're either going to have success against a lot of these teams and make a playoff run and maybe even win one or two games with your rejuvenated squad, and mm-hmm. or you realize that, hey, you're a lot farther away than you thought you were in terms of the NFL. And, hey, maybe we start shipping out some more guys than we thought. But I think either way, it's a good place to be right now. And I'm excited, man. I think it's going to be a fun game come Sunday. We're going to sweat it out regardless, but maybe we finally get that game we've been looking for, Lou, where we could kind of sit there halfway through the second quarter and say things are looking good for us.
I hope so. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri right here on Locked On Eagles. We've got to hit one more break, and then we'll wrap up this Saturday edition of the show coming up next. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into the Locked On Eagles podcast, a Saturday edition of the show, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles. Be sure to subscribe to the show on any podcast platform or on LockedOnEagles.com for 4 to 6 episodes a week downloaded into your phone. Gino, let's talk some jerseys real quick. The Eagles are going to wear all white again at MetLife. They have not worn green pants yet this year. I thought they were making a comeback at the end of last season. They were kind of the do-or-die pants you wore against Washington, against New York to win the NFC East. But and before that, they hadn't worn them since 2017, and they only wore those once against New York. And now, I thought they were making a comeback at the end of last year, but it seems like, again, this year, they're going all white again when they're on the road. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on the all white versus the white on green, because I used to hate white on white. I thought it was just a preseason look. It reminded me of the preseason. I remember in 2014 when they had to wear those for the first 8 games because Nike didn't have the midnight green ready yet.
That's right.
And remember that? And I hated them, but now, I don't know. I like them. They look faster in them, and you get the Carson Wentz swagger when he wears all white. He rocks the white arm sleeves too, and the white socks. I used to be anti-white on white, but I'm kind of all in on white on white now over white on green.
Yeah, I'm always more confident when I bet Philadelphia when Carson Wentz is wearing a white arm sleeve.
And they just look better. They look faster.
Because my brain automatically thinks to that 2017 Panthers game on Thursday night. It's like, oh, they're all coming out in all white. It's like, this game is definitely over. It's like the college team or like a high school team that just has the way fresher uniforms going to go out there against the Giants. Their uniforms stink. Like, let's get real. The Eagles, I don't think Dallas's uniforms are good. I don't know why everybody applauds them. Even in midnight green, the Eagles uniforms are way better. Imagine when they go back to Kelly green. Imagine the old school, all white with the old school logo, all whites, Lou. Those are going to be so fresh. But you're right, man. I'm confident in them, and I'm probably going to have to put in the bet now. Like, now that you brought it up, I think I'm going to have to wager a couple dollars on
this. You know what's funny, man? Like, Eagles Twitter, I don't know. I like all white, like white on white, and I'm not really a big fan of white on green, but Eagles Twitter hates it. I mean, they're all white on green. I don't know.
Stormtroopers, bro. I love Stormtrooper uniforms.
Yeah,
I think
too.
It's
I don't know. Green pants just make you look slower to me. I don't know. And again, they were the do-or-die pants
like
last year.
Like, receivers wearing black cleats. Everybody looks slower in black cleats.
It's a good point. I don't know what it is, but if you wear some colors, you either look faster or slower. And so I'm all in on white on white, man. I can't wait for tomorrow.
Anything that will help this team win a football game matters, even if it's the jerseys. We're superstitious about
I'm not superstitious,
everything.
But I'm a little stitious, you know.
I'm very, very, very stitious when it comes to it. And, hey, the white-on-white jerseys have been good luck. They've been good Carson performances. So fingers crossed we get one of those tomorrow because for all of our sanity, we need it.
Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri joining you on this Saturday edition of Locked On Eagles. We're going to sign off for now. We'll be back tomorrow for the post-game show, hopefully talking about a big Eagles win to get to 4-4-1 on the year against the New York Giants. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, any platform, LockedOnEagles.com, and we'll be talking birds during the show, or I should say during the game on Twitter tomorrow, at DiBiase, L-O-E, at Gino_L-O-E. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game. For now, signing off, I'm Louis DiBiase right here on Locked On Eagles. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.